You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will make our broadcast a blessing to you today. Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege we have of presenting your gospel on the broadcast today, and we're thankful for each one who has our program tuned in. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to use our broadcast to make it a blessing to precious eternity-bound souls. We know that you love everyone. We know that Jesus died for everyone. And so we pray that you will work in and through this broadcast service to the good of souls and to the glory of God. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Continuing the musical part of our broadcast service now with the selection, I'm Redeemed.
Sweet is the song I sing today.
Great is my joy, and I'm
subject for today's broadcast, the divine nature, reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Apostle Peter, of course, was one of the 12, and he was taught personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has written two small books that we have recorded in our Bible. And we're thankful for these because they teach a lot of precious truths. Again, our subject for today's broadcast, the divine nature. Man was created in the image of God. God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. That's Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27. Now, God is not a physical being. And so the writer here, when he said we are made in the image of God, or quotes God as saying, "Let us make man in our own image, and in the image of God created he him," he's not talking about the physical man. Jesus told the woman at the well there in Samaria, you may remember, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we are to conclude from the words of the Apostle Peter here, and from the Genesis scripture that I just read, that we were made in the image of God in the spiritual sense, or in what we call the inner man, or the soul in man. That we were made in the image of God, and therefore, whenever Adam and Eve were formed, whenever they were made with a divine nature. Yes, they were a holy people. They had the divine nature. Since God is not physical, we understand again that they're referring to the nature or the spirit of man. And remember this, God did not make an unholy person. When he formed Adam and also Eve, he made them in his own image with the divine nature. However, as we read on in the book of Genesis, we find that Adam and Eve sinned against God. And so whenever they sinned, they lost that divine nature. They lost the image of God, and they took on a sinful, depraved nature. We might even say that they took on the nature of Satan. And certainly, he is an evil being. He is totally degenerate. However, I am not saying that Adam and Eve were totally degenerate after they sinned, but they did lose that divine nature. They lost their sonship with God, their fellowship with God, and they had a different kind of nature from the divine nature, and that nature was an evil nature. Now, I know there are those who teach the predestination doctrine, teach that man is totally degenerate, therefore he's not capable of making a decision. And God preordained before He ever made the world who would be saved and who would not be saved. But that teaching is not scriptural. It is not true. Man is not totally degenerate. And man does have the capacity, in fact, he has the responsibility of choosing. We see this in the book of Genesis, and we see it in the book of Exodus. We see it in the book of Joshua. We see it in various scriptures. Moses chose, Joshua challenged the children of Israel to choose, and everyone who becomes a Christian does so by choice. Man was made a free moral agent, and he was given the responsibility of choosing whom he would serve, just as Joshua charged the children of Israel to choose whom they would serve. And so man's nature was changed when he sinned. And we come into this world with a depraved nature, which I will deal with a little later on. But whenever man's nature was changed, it became a lustful desire for things that were forbidden by God, that were forbidden by the will of God. Yes, man became degenerate. He became evil in his nature, and he became evil in his desires. Eve partook of that fruit whenever she had no right to do so, and she did so because she was tempted, and she yielded to that temptation. The Apostle James said, "Let not a man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, because God tempteth no man to do evil, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin." And so, whenever man became a sinful being, his desire was for sinful things. His desire was for those things which were contrary to the will of Almighty God. It brought sin, it brought death, it brought destruction. Jeremiah the prophet said in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now that's the divine inspired word of God. That's not my word. That's not my saying. That's the prophet Jeremiah, inspired and moved by God. And he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And he was talking about that depraved nature. He was not talking about the divine nature. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So we read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, "The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plains and all the inhabitants of the cities." Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and also chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. And so man's heart was, his imaginations were evil continually, and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were very sinful because their sin is very grievous, and God destroyed them because of their sinful acts and their sinful ways. But now let us return to our text today, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Now, what were those promises? Well, the first promise of a Savior, as we understand, was given to Adam and Eve whenever God told Eve that the seed, or told Adam and Eve that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. We understand that to be the very first promise in the Bible of a Savior. And as we come on down through the Old Testament scriptures, we find various promises and various thoughts and expressions in regard to the coming Messiah. Isaiah is called the Gospel of the Old Testament because you find various scriptures in his book that are prophesying and referring to the coming of the Messiah, the Savior. And so it is through Jesus Christ we have these precious, exceeding great and precious promises. Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a virgin, there in Bethlehem stable, but he didn't remain a baby in a stable. He grew to manhood, and he started in his earthly ministry around the age of 30. First, he was baptized by John the Baptizer in the Jordan River, fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then he entered into his earthly ministry, and he preached the gospel to the people. Yes, he preached the gospel to them. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So the Apostle Paul told the people there in Athens, and Jesus Christ said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye therefore and believe the gospel. And so Jesus Christ came. He suffered and he bled and he died upon the cross of Calvary so that we could be changed from the sinful nature back to the divine nature. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The scriptures represent Christ as having died as a substitute for us. His death was vicarious. Yes, his death was vicarious. Had he not died, we would have had to have died. The word vicarious means that Jesus took our place. Not that he just died for us, but he took our place. He died so that we could live, so that we would not have to die. Christ died to redeem us, which means simply, the redeem means to buy back or to bring back. We sold ourselves to sin, yes, by choice. Yes, we are the one who chose to go into a life of sin. We're the one who chose to do wrong. We're the one who chose to disobey Almighty God. So we sold ourselves to sin. As one scripture says, we're sold under sin. And so Jesus Christ died upon that cruel cross and rose again the third day to redeem us, to buy us back, to bring us back. And so we have the privilege through these exceeding great and precious promises to be redeemed and become a child of God. Through Jesus Christ, we can be reconciled to God. Now, it isn't God reconciled to man. God never done anything wrong. He never done man any wrong. And so we are the one that did the wrong. We are the one that sinned against God. And therefore, we are the one that must be reconciled to God. And we do this by repenting of and by forsaking our sins, truly asking God to forgive us with a broken and a contrite heart, not as a mere form, Lord, forgive me of my many sins and pray that every day. No. Whenever you come to God with a broken and a contrite heart, truly repenting of your sins, you do so with the desire and with the determination of turning away from sin, of stopping the sin business. Repentance is required because Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But if you do repent, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, beloved, after we are saved, after we have been redeemed, after we have been converted, and we have peace with God, there still remains that depravity in the soul that needs to be eradicated. Yes, we have been born again. We've been justified, we've been born again, but we still need something more, and that is what the Bible calls sanctification. Yes, we need to be sanctified and have that Adamic nature removed and again have the divine nature. Notice again verse 4 of our text, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the doctrine of sanctification as a second cleansing is an important biblical doctrine. I know there are those who deny it and those who would have you to believe you get it all at one time, but no, that is not what the Scriptures teach. Sanctification is for the converted. In the prayer of Christ, and the Lord's Prayer is not that one in the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord's Prayer is found in John 17. And there in that prayer, Jesus prayed for his disciples, Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And so the sanctification that Christ is talking about here is not the sanctification or the cleansing of the life. No, your sinful life is cleansed in justification, in regeneration. Jesus here is talking about that cleansing of the nature. And that is what happens when a person is truly sanctified and infilled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not talking about jibber-jabbering in tongues. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit coming in, eradicating that depraved nature, leaving only the divine nature. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. So sanctification, the eradication of the depraved nature and the receiving of the divine nature in its fullest extent is for the church. It is for those who have been saved and the Lord has added them to his church. In sanctification, in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, all depravity is removed and only the divine nature is left. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, through the redeeming grace of God. And whenever we are redeemed, whenever we become a member of God's church, then we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. The Apostle Paul taught us in the book of Romans that we are not our own, that we have been bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are God's. Yes, we are taught in the Scriptures that whenever we are filled with the Spirit, we become a temple for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we not only become a temple, but we become a vessel, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Now, after we have been truly saved and sanctified and have that divine nature, we need to do what Peter goes on to say here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me read these verses. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Thank God for that saving, keeping grace. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the truth of the gospel with this precious people today. We're trusting the Holy Spirit will make it a blessing to each and to every one. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share the Way of Truth broadcast with you today. We trust that it has proven to be a blessing. I'd like to encourage you to write us and let us know if it has. Our mailing address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA.
Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine on our webpage. And also, there's an archive there where there's a number of our broadcasts if you have missed any. And we invite you to join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6, and that's Eastern Time, of course. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Avenue Craig. We thank you for listening to today's broadcast. We trust it has been a blessing, and we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest in and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me, seeking for me. Oh, yes, seeking for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, seeking for me. Jesus, my Savior, on Calvary's tree, paid the great debt, and my soul He set free. Oh, it is wonderful, how could it be, dying for me. Dying for me, oh yes, dying for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, dying for me. Jesus, my Savior, the same as of old, while I was wandering afar from the fold, gently and long did He plead with my soul, calling for me, calling for me. Oh, yes, calling for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, calling for me. Jesus, my Savior, shall come from on high. Sweet is the promise as weary years fly. Oh, I shall see Him descending the sky, coming for me. Coming for me. Oh, yes, coming for me. It is wonderful, blessed be His name, coming for me, coming for me. Oh, yes, coming for me. Oh, it is wonderful, blessed be His name, coming for me, for me.